Top Base Podcast.
This is last place, Joe. There's no shame in finishing last. Anyone who listens to my commentary on this podcast, do it at your own risk.
We can really express our true opinions about who we think sucks. Mr. Timothy Lamar Lincecum.
That guy's a gas can. Terrible second half last year. Bad spring so far. I don't like him. I think he's overrated.
I don't have a lot of good data to back this up, but I'm going to say it. I think Matt Kemp's overrated.
You think Prince is a justified top 10 pick?
I don't like him. I think he's overrated. I think Marmol's overrated.
I think Jacoby Ellsbury's overrated. I don't like Evan Longoria or David Wright. I think they're both overrated. I happen to think I have the best and brightest insights among the three of us.
And I finished in last place.
You got Scott Bodley here, the BOD. I work hard all day. One's in a foot race. Adrian, Poppy, or Usain Bolt running back.
I thought Sean Markham was your secret love child.
You know, we really did it for the fans.
After Tulo, it is a barren wasteland. You might as well draft Ernie Banks or Jeff Blauser.
Well, apparently we had a slight Twitter malfunction.
I don't really consider Cabrera first baseman. If you're playing him at first base, you're an idiot. Why would someone take Votto over Cano? It blows my mind. I'm just a champion all the time.
The Big Cat.
We are three knuckleheads sitting around doing a podcast on fantasy baseball.
It took it a little while for the secret to actually get out.
Every time Wally picks somebody up, it's gold. It could be, you know, my grandma, and all of a sudden she'd be hitting like 350.
Until I see Miguel Cabrera out there with an actual frying pan on his hand, then I'll change my mind. Matt Kemp's going to win the NL MVP. If my aunt had balls, she'd be my uncle.
Sit back, enjoy the information, the knowledge.
Welcome back, everybody. What is up? This is the Off Base Podcast, episode 11. I'd like to start out today by making a special mention of our guest, Wally Balls Waldrum.
Also known as the Josh Hamilton Balls.
Joining us today. So it's me, Argie, the BOD, and the Big Cat is not here, but Wally, we appreciate you coming to sit in.
He's taking a cat nap.
Wally's a three-time league champion.
Thanks for the invite, fellas.
Thinks he's on his way to the fourth title in the past
5 years.
5 years. So you joined us back in episode 3. That was before the season started.
Yeah.
And why don't we start off today by talking a little bit about how it's gone so far, how you felt coming out of the draft, and tell us where your team's at.
Okay. After the draft, I loved my team. I didn't think anybody else liked my team, but me and my co-manager loved the squad. Kind of got out of the gate slow, and then Hamilton's kind of carried us most of the way here, because Adrian's been a bum, and Nelson Cruz has been a bum, and Hanley's hitting 200, like already predicted.
Do you have any other offensive players that have done well?
Yeah, I got David Wright, who's been solid.
Like, he's been better than I thought he'd be.
My second baseman pickups have been good, like Altuve, and...
Yeah.
Like, I've had the guys filling, guys, but Hamilton's kind of been a one-man show. I had Eats here for a while, but I traded him for Felix, which... kind of makes my team mouth-watering, I think. I love that trade. Thanks, Cobra.
So you're sitting at 70 points, kind of where you expected to be. You're in third place, and you have had a rough start from a couple guys.
Yep.
Like you said, Hanley's been not as good. Adrian's been not as good. So you got to feel pretty good about where you're at right now, all things considered, especially with adding Felix.
I'm pretty confident. Like I said, last Wednesday, I was down to like 50 points, and Hamilton was hurt at the time. And I remember talking to my co-manager, I'm like, you know, if we're still at 50 points and Adrian and Hanley and Nelson Cruz are going to be this bad, then that's what we're going to take. And then so fast forward a week later, we've climbed 20 points in a week, and mostly in Hamilton's bombs. But like I said, yes, if those guys ever start hitting, I love the team.
Well, we got to hand it to you. I think everybody in the league roots against you just because you've dominated so much. But
wouldn't expect anything less.
Let's do a quick recap on where we are in the standings. And by the way, BOD, give them the URL for finding our league.
URL is tinyurl.com/offbasepodcastleague.
You can log in and check out our league standings. Still in first place, the whole effing show. This is the new guy. He's proven that he's not a flash in the pan. I mean, we're a month into the season now. And he's been firmly in first place for a good part of that time. Bleacher Creatures is second. He took a lot of heat from us in the preseason draft recap, but got to hand it to that guy. His team is overperforming, in my opinion, but, you know, he'll tell you otherwise. He thinks he's pretty good. So shout out, Andrew. You're in second place. And then we got Wally in third. Cobra, he's still pulling rabbits out of his hat.
Hanging around.
I don't know how he does it, guys, but he's at 65 points this week. And Vengeance is at 59. That rounds out the top five. And then there's a little bit of a separation in points. BOD, you're in sixth place.
I haven't even looked at the standings in like a week because I've been so bad. I've been so bad. I'm taking a nosedive. I hate my team. I freaking hate it.
Why would you trade Jay Bruce?
I know. Like, it's so stupid. It was such a dumb deal.
How's Justin Verlander working out for you?
I have an idea. Like, strike out the Mariners. It's the Mariners. It's not like you're pitching against the Yankees.
Verlander's so good, you get mad when he strikes out a guy in an inning and gets a win.
And everybody hates Brett Myers. What is he, tied for, like, third in the league in saves? His ERA is under two?
Yeah, well, guess what? I'll trade you. I'll give you Mike Stanton for Verlander. How about that? You can have your Jay Bruce look-alike.
Well, except Jay Bruce is a lot better, so you need to give me more than that.
Disagree.
Who you got?
I have 48.5 points. I'm only a point and a half behind you, BOD. I'm in seventh place. Holding tight at seventh. Clint has made a surge up to 42 points. He's in eighth place. Jason has been free-falling. Jason was in fourth or fifth place just recently, but all those points you made up, Wally, I think right field gave him back.
Thanks, Jason.
He's dropped all the way down to 35 points. I think 40 points is the Mendoza line, don't you guys?
Yeah. But look how high Scotty's got to. Scotty's up to 25.5. His team's on the rise.
Look at that. Savoy. He hit the quarter century mark.
Scotty, I know you're not here, but we were checking like last Saturday. You got down to the teens. You got down to 19.5. I thought that was pretty amusing. 19.5.
Do you think that's why he's not on today?
Yeah, suicide watch.
So, yeah, we should talk about that. Wally's joining us today, but suspiciously absent is the big cat. And like you said, Wally, he dropped below 20.
Woo! When you're that bad, you probably should just take some time off, you know? Get away.
Wait. Guys, he picked up Wilson Ramos, Robert Andino, and Kyle Seager. I think he's going to be fine. False alarm.
Oh, shiz.
30 points is in his reach.
Oh, but then he dropped Wilson Ramos and picked up Gavin Floyd. Oh, well.
Gavin Floyd.
Every good fantasy team has Gavin Floyd.
How does his team get that bad? Like, how does it, like, I mean, he's got to have some things, everything go wrong.
You know, we talked about it last week, and he has been snake bit. He's got Ellsbury on the DL. That was his second round pick. Michael Morse is on the DL. But Houston Street and Sergio Santos, two closers, are out for him. But, dude, like, he risked a lot on Josh Johnson, for example. That guy has not only been bad, he's been unpitchable.
No.
You put him in there and you're hurting yourself.
Yep.
So, I don't know. And look at this pitching staff. Oh, my gosh. Drew Smyly, Jake Peavy, Cliff Lee, who just barely came off the DL, Ross Detweiler, Jonathan Neese, Matt Moore, and Josh Johnson. Those are your starters.
Where does he get? Some of these guys, I can't believe the roster.
Wow.
Rat Balfour?
Rough times for Savoy. So he's still holding down last place. Maybe he'll come out of hiding and join us next week if he can catch up to Jason in the standings.
He can't be that depressed. Hunter Pence is killing it. He can't be that depressed. Hunter Pence is not the worst pick of the draft.
Here we go. We got it on tape.
He is not the worst pick of the draft. Scotty, I'm sorry. He is not the worst.
He might give you a hug now.
All right. Well, speaking of picks gone wrong or predictions gone wrong, we got a couple of them written down here. We're calling this our preseason picks, true and false. So, Wally, you joined us back in episode 3 before our draft and kind of before the season started. And we all made predictions, thought we knew what we were talking about.
We thought we were the smartest people alive.
Let me throw some of these out. You guys say if it's true or false and give me your current thinking on these guys. We'll start out with one that the BOD made. He said Adam Dunn would have 35 bombs.
It's looking pretty good.
Give it up, fellas. Give it up.
Unbelievable.
I hate Adam Dunn.
I mean, what were you thinking when you said that, first of all? Because you were serious.
Well, because he had such a bad year, and there's no way he was not going to turn it around. Like, guys have slumps all the time, and they come back. He obviously had been hurt.
Yeah, but whoa! We laughed at you, right? I mean, he hit below 200.
He was terrible.
He hit 11 jacks last year. 11!
Yeah, he was terrible.
You don't go from 40, 40, 40 to 11.
Well, why would you? Because you're probably hurt.
You took a needle out of your butt.
Or you took a needle out of your butt. But, dude, look at Poppy. Poppy took a year decline, and he somehow found it again. Bergman had a terrible year, came back.
So
just saying.
So to complete this thought, Dunn has 111 at-bats right now, 10 home runs. So once every 11 at-bats, the guy's hitting a bomb. If he gets 550 at-bats at this pace,
Do the math.
I don't even want to do the math because I'm not good at math, but that's a lot of home runs.
I mean, so even putting aside the idea that he could go 50-plus, I think you're right on track. The dude's on pace for easily 35.
The crazy thing about that is I was shocked at where Cobra took him. I thought he went high.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, because I thought for sure I'm going to snag this guy in my back pocket like the 18th round, but he took him early. So I'm still pissed off about that.
Dude, Cobra is just blessed with the ability to find home runs out of nowhere.
Cobra, we need you on the show, man. I want to hear what you think.
All right, here's another one that we had. Both me and my co-manager, Hank, predicted Albert Pujols was going to struggle big time.
Couldn't be farther wrong. Couldn't be farther from the truth, right?
I mean, when I first got the number one pick, when we did the drawing, I had to consider the options, right? And Pujols is one of those guys you consider. But I concluded that it's not worth number one because he's switching leagues. Bottom line for me, I figured that the first time around the league, at least the first third of the season, he would struggle. And we talked about this last week on the podcast. But it's been bad. I mean, he sort of got the monkey off his back with one homer. But what do you think? Is he going to come around?
Well, at this point, what has come around? You can't play, the fifth of the season we're in, and he's been hitting, like, 190 with one jack and eight RBIs?
Yeah, because when I said he would struggle, I didn't mean he was going to be
top
100. I thought he's more like a top 30 player.
He's the worst rostered player in the league. It's not even close.
Oh, that you have to play every day?
Yeah.
Yes.
But even taking a bench spot.
Oh.
Right?
So just to give everybody an update, he's hitting 198. He's got one homer. He's got 11 RBIs. You know, the interesting thing about him is he's not stringing hits together at all. He had two hits last night. I believe that's his only two-hit game. His only multi-hit game all year long.
Josh Hamilton had more bases in one game than Albert had in the first month.
Sorry. Back in mid-April, Albert had a three-hit game and two two-hit games. But the guy's hitting 198. So what do you expect from Albert, Wally? End of season, what are his totals?
I cannot see him hitting above 30 bombs. I can't see him hitting above 290. I mean, how can you? I mean, that's a huge power surge if he does. It's not like he's hitting doubles either. I mean, 100 RBIs is a push. Like, I don't think he'll get there. I don't think he gets above 30.
I think he could get it. I mean, I think he can get close to 300. Not sure. Scott said this last week, 37 bombs after a slow start. That driver getting home runs. I mean, Albert Pujols is going to have to just flip the switch. And I think he's just being so passive at the plate, man. Swing! Swing the freaking bat, dude!
Disagree. That is his problem. He swings at everything.
Really?
Didn't you read that article?
See, when I watch him, he's just like, he takes pitches like crazy. And so it's 0-2, and now he's like, oh crap.
Back in the day, that I just read an article that said that he used to swing like 42% of the pitches. The last 2 years, he's swung like above 50. And like, including like pitches out of the zone. I think he's pressing a little bit.
Oh, well, sure he is. Crap, man.
But he doesn't look good.
Yeah, if he doesn't turn it around soon, not only is it first round bust, he could finish out of the top 100.
Oh, easy.
I'm not. I don't hate the Angels. So no offense to Angels fans out there, but had they ever made a good free agent signing? Like, it just backfires on them all the time.
Well, how many old guys can you roster?
But I mean, Pujols. You thought it might be a bad contract in like 5-6 years from now. You wouldn't think it'd be a bad contract 3 weeks in.
No.
It's unbelievable.
That's what I'm saying. Torrey Hunter, Bobby Abreu. How many guys do they get Vernon Wells after their prime that they signed under these big contracts?
Well, everybody's talking about the great offseason because they got Albert and they got CJ Wilson. Look at CJ Wilson's numbers. The dude has 2.61 ERA, 1.04 whip. He's got 4 wins already and 39 Ks in 41 innings. So between him and Albert, by far, he's the better of the two
sure. In
terms of free agent pickups. All right, here's another one. Let's see. I also predicted Marmol would lose his job by May 15th.
I think that was spot on to the day.
I'll take credit for that.
That's pretty good.
And I picked up Rafael Dolí. I have the Cubs closer, so I got to take credit for that.
Thank goodness, by the way, that they made that switch.
Now you'd have to play him.
Because I don't have to have that 2.5 whip in my lineup every day.
Makes your life a lot easier, not having to decide. BOD, you predicted that Longoria would go 3,100.
Yeah, I predicted that, but I didn't think he'd be getting hurt. Although I guess he's been hurt before, but he was doing well.
He was being great.
What's his injury status right now?
I have no idea. Is he out for at least another month?
It was at the time. It was like 6 weeks. I think it was like 2 weeks ago. So yeah, at least a month.
He could still get 30.
He had 4, and he was hitting 329 when he went out. So you were on track, but this injury is going to definitely hurt.
When injuries hit like that, I almost feel like there's an asterisk there. But at the same time, though, like my whole thought with Josh Hamilton is that he can't get these. He can't be that great because he's going to get hurt. So you have to take in injuries.
It has to be factored in.
Yeah.
It's funny though, like why guys like Longoria don't get injured because he's been injured a couple times in his career, but then Hamilton, who honestly has been injured more times than more years than he hasn't, everybody was terrified of him. It's just interesting draft day why that is.
I think going forward he will be. If you think about this, think about all the third basemen. Longoria, Wright, Uke, they all have these injury.
Pablo,
they have these injury bugs.
Well, and three of those guys were on one roster in the league.
Who could that be?
Vengeance, I think, had one, all three of those guys. And well, how long did they get hurt? Like in a 2-day span? Yeah. Three third basemen down? Boom.
Unbelievable.
But seriously, who's the healthiest third baseman?
Cabrera.
Batista.
Well, I almost thought Batista should almost say he's hurt just so he could get whatever he needs to get hitting again.
Well, I think the Big Cat was saying earlier this week, Joey Bats hasn't done anything since the All-Star break last year, and some people are saying it coincides very suspiciously with the guy giving signs in the outfield.
No waving the white flag.
Right, so that's a real...
That's interesting.
It's an alarming stat for Batista.
Maybe he just passed him over to Edwin Encarnacion.
Must be. Here's another one. Jason Hayward would finish in the top 15 of outfielders. The Big Cat made that prediction.
That's looking solid as ever.
He's only hitting .260.
What's his, how many home runs and steals?
Four bombs, nine bags. He's also scored 18 runs, which is pretty good because he hits down in that order at number six.
Which I don't understand. Yeah, he's looking like a 25 bomb guy, 30 steal guy.
Pretty impressive. He's ranked 51 overall, so that prediction is looking to be on track. Here's one from Bleacher. Justin Upton could put up, he didn't say he would, but he said he could put up triple crown stats.
I mean, he could turn it around. Seems like Upton's a guy that all of a sudden, you look away, then 2 weeks later, he's just on fire.
Yeah, he is streaky.
He's real streaky, but he's hitting .235. And he's never been an average guy. And we had this debate, too. And I think his highest, wasn't it .293 was his highest total that he'd ever hit? But he's hitting .235 right now.
It's not good.
Sorry, .289 was Upton's highest average. Triple crown, obviously no chance. You've got to hit .330+, but... You know, he's only got three bombs.
See, in my mind, he's
only
the classic,
got nine RBIs.
He's the classic guy that everybody talks about how, all these players in the first round don't give you first-round value. Well, don't be drafting hype, right?
I said he's a guy that could break out. If you look at that first 15 players, who's the guy that could be this year's Jose Bautista? And I thought it could be Upton because everyone says it. Everyone says, he's on the verge.
Right.
But year after year now, this is season four.
He's never a high RBI guy. Like, he always hits his bombs, doesn't seem like, with, like, no one on or one guy on. Like,
yeah.
And plus the Diamondbacks lineup, like, the table setters aren't that good.
Yeah.
If you're looking back at that draft where Andrew took Upton, outside of Cargo, I mean, you can't really argue that he should have taken anyone else.
No. I mean,
not a bad pick. Like you said, maybe he'll get streaky.
Upton hasn't been worse than Votto or Gonzalez or Batista or Pujols.
Yeah.
Or Cano.
Yeah.
All right, last one here in this preseason picks, true or false. We had a disagreement, you and I did, Wally.
We did.
I said...
That's interesting.
Hanley Ramirez would finish outside the top 50 at the end of the season. You came back and said Hanley would win the NL MVP.
Has an MVP ever won at hitting .220? Has there ever been a .220 MVP?
That's a good question.
Awful. So, I mean, and he's caught in fire a little bit more lately. Six homers now to go along with six bags. It's not like he's a dead weight on your team, but are you getting what you thought you were getting?
No, he's the most productive .220 hitter in the history of the game. He either, like, I've never seen a guy that goes 0-for-5 with two RBIs and a steal more often.
That is pretty awesome.
I don't understand Hanley at all. Like I said, I thought for sure it was a down year and he was hurt. And he says he's healthy this year. You just go ahead and multi-hit game once.
You know what's interesting is the whole Marlins offense hasn't been very good.
They've been awful. Reyes is down to like, what's Reyes at, like 240?
Do you know what Bonifacio is hitting now? 230.
Yeah.
He was like 380.
Same thing with Stanton. Same with the breakout candidate, Logan Morrison, who was supposed to have a big year.
Morrison's hitting fourth, by the way. He should be driving in runs. Stanton's only hitting .259. And before he had five homers in seven games recently, which gives him six, by the way, for the whole year. he was terrible too. So that whole team, you kind of wonder.
Is the pitching coach that bad in Florida?
Are they going to wake up? Is that team going to just start to mash all of a sudden? Because they seem
to
have the pieces.
You can't steal first because they do like to run. But the problem with that team is they can't steal first.
All right.
Yeah.
You know what? A big topic in our league has been closers. I mean, just the amount of turnover in closers from the draft, which was late March, until now. It's only been 6 weeks. It's been incredible. I'm going to give you guys some names. We'll talk about closers that have changed just since we did our closer merry-go-round 2 weeks ago on this podcast. We talked about already Marmol is out and Dolie is in for the Cubs. San Diego, Houston Street. You guys were both active on that.
Yeah, Scotty over here picked up, who was it, Cashner?
I picked up Cashner and Gregerson that night because when he got hurt. Because everyone was saying those are the two guys that are going to get the job.
And I thought for sure. And then so I turned in for the Padre game on, what night was that, like Monday? And what's his, Thayer is his name?
Yeah.
Thayer, the journeyman. You know, and AAA gets a save, pick him up, and he got a save the next night. So he's looking like the guy at least.
And it's not a settled situation because Street's going to be back soon. But
Street's better than those guys.
Oh, for sure. But you never know. Injury. I mean,
Street's hurt more than anybody.
That's right. He could be out just as fast as he comes back in. Hector Santiago's out. I feel like I stole some saves there when the BOD advised me to pick him up because nobody knew who was going to be that closer. And he did give me some saves, but he was pretty bad.
I have no idea who's closing in Chicago.
So you thought it was going to be Chris Sale. Everybody did, right?
I had Reed on my team. I was hoping that I'd give it to him because this guy still has not given up a run all year. So they had that huge announcement on Yahoo. Sale's the closer starting Monday. He's the closer starting Monday. So I drop Reed. Since then, he has two saves.
Unbelievable.
So, and I think Cobra, who's punting saves, picked him up just for ratios and has got saves from him.
Well, he's got so much trade bait on his team there with Canley and Reed.
Yeah.
Especially Canley.
Yeah, he's got closers, but he's punting saves.
And now they say Sale has, like, ligament damage in his elbow, so, I mean, it's anybody's guess.
It's a disaster.
By the way, like, oh, he has ligament damage, so let's move him to the bullpen.
Because then, so,
what the heck is that? That was a weird statement they made.
I hate the White Sox.
All right, Anaheim. It was Jordan Walden. He was terrible. That guy was getting pounded. I feel pretty lucky I picked up Scott Downs, but he is not a long-term answer.
He's no Kelly Downs.
Speaking of Walden, how can you be that bad when you throw 100 miles an hour?
Yeah.
Like, literally, how can you throw 100 at every ball? Like, I don't understand this.
Do you think they gave up on him too early?
I don't know, man. He looked awful.
I mean, they were worried with him last year.
Yeah.
You know, last year. You know who they had to put in there is Fernando Rodney. Oh, wait.
Oh, wait a minute. The Rays do have a magical cure of getting the best out of guys.
So who do you think it's going to be? Is it going to be Downs?
Well, Downs hurt his knee, so then it was up in the air, but it turns out it was just a bone bruise. So he's back in the role, but, you know, he hasn't historically been healthy, and he's old, too. He's not the long-term answer there. I would still say that situation's pretty fluid.
I would guess it's my guy that I picked up. What, how do you say his name? Frary?
Frary.
Frary?
Isn't he a cook on that cooking
network? Guy's pretty lights out.
Like he just came over from the Padres, right?
Yeah. He's pretty good. I don't know if they're... And, so far, the Angels, in three innings pitched, he's struck out six guys. So, what do you guys think?
Honestly, I have no idea.
I'm hoping it's Downs. So I want to steal as many saves as I can, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's gone in the next month or two.
It has to be one of those two, because who else could it be?
Yeah. Well, then Walden may come... I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
The guy was supposed to be the man, you know? He throws a ton of heat.
Latroy Hawkins. I think Ari's got a point, though, which is great. You got to steal saves at any point of the season, at any time you can, from anywhere. Saves this year, I mean, most years it's a dogfight. But this year it is going to be like tooth and nail to get every save that you can.
One or two saves could be the difference of 1 or 2 points.
I'm going to step in here because I used to believe that wholeheartedly, but every relief pitcher I picked up gives up a run. Like, everyone gives up. And my ERA's over 4
now
because of it.
Which is a great segue to the Toronto Blue Jays.
Unbelievable.
Why don't you tell us what happened this week?
I went to bed after Verlander's okay start against the Mariners. And you come. I see you the next day, Argie, and you tell me that, I have an ERA over 4. I was like, what? How do I have an ERA over 4? And then I look, and freaking Cordero got his butt lit. I mean, it was unbelievable. What was the ERA? Like 225?
It was the late game against Oakland, and Brandon Inge had a walk-off grand slam, and you got tagged for, what was it, five
earned.
Classic Brandon Inge.
And the funny thing is, you're the one that jumped in and snagged Cordero 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And you thought you had, you know...
And everybody was mad.
...gotten over on everybody and picked up the Blue Jays closer. Now Cordero's out, And you've gone with Casey Jansen.
I mean, when am I going to stop? You know what I mean? It's like an addict. I got to pick up these crappy guys who I think is going to do something, and they just don't.
I cannot believe how hard every closer, unless your name's Rodney or Kimbrel, closers suck.
Oh, they're terrible.
I cannot explain it.
Okay, here's a couple more. We know Mariano went down with a knee injury. Robertson has been pretty shaky to start with. Andrew had that covered already, and he was ready to go with Robertson before the injury. Is he going to be the long-term answer there?
They're hoping.
He's going to be the answer.
His stats were nice.
He's a good pitcher. I don't understand why it's so hard to pitch in the ninth compared to the eighth.
It's hard to get those last three outs, man. It's hard.
He needs to relax.
If I had to guess, I'm going to say he will be the long-term closer for the Yankees. He seems like they groomed him to be the closer.
What about Jarbo when he comes back? Any chance he'll be in there?
I thought they were going to give it to Soriano. Like, honestly, I wouldn't own a Yankee, and I was like, if I was going to pick up anybody after Mariano went down, I thought it was going to be Soriano. They're paying him closer money.
Yeah, and he's done it before.
And Robertson's been excellent in this. I thought for sure they'd give it to Soriano.
All right, here's a couple more. The Marlins, I mean, Heath Bell's on tilt in Miami, but they, like you said, they're paying him closer money. They brought him in as a free agent, and it seems like Ozzie Guillen is sticking with him. But that guy, it's unwatchable.
It is unwatchable. That's probably the only way you can explain it.
Red Sox, Wally, you picked up Acevis after.
Thank you,
after
by the way.
He dropped
unbelievable.
Him.
That just pisses me.
Wally, what a nice guy.
By the way, I do this every year. Every year. I did that with Kyle Farnsworth last year.
Can I ask a question, though?
Yeah.
That night when, wasn't it Lidge and Acevis blew up? Was it just a strategic move, or did you just freak out?
Well, it was a little bit of both. I thought, you know what? There's no way, Lidge isn't going to be the long-term answer there. So I thought, I don't even want to touch him anymore. And I thought Acevis was just so bad that he is not going to be the answer. I mean, he got lit twice.
Like I said, usually a guy that is the closer king dropped two closers. I definitely used a waiver. Can I just read his stats, what he's done on my team so far?
Oh, boy.
7.2 innings pitched, only two saves, but that's the only two save opportunities he has. 13 Ks, no earned runs, 0.91 whip.
Wow.
I'm going to look at my – I'm going to see what he's done for me. And I'll tell you, this is why I dropped him. Let's see. Acevis, where are you? An ERA of 24 and a whip of 3.33.
So I hope that doesn't happen for
me. One man's trash is another man's treasure.
Unbelievable.
By the way, Heath Bell is currently rocking 10.24 ERA and 2.69 whip. His whip is higher than the ERA of...
than Carlos Marmol's.
Unbelievable. Last one we'll mention is Kenley Jansen is in as the closer, it looks like, in L.A., and the Dodgers have kicked Javi Garrett to the curb. He's been bad, too. So I guess we point this out because how many is that? That's like 9 or 10 different closers, since we talked about it 2 weeks ago, that have changed jobs. You have to expect that's going to continue to happen, right?
I agree. I find it interesting. I wonder what everybody thinks. Like, Vengeance is always talk about he's going to punt saves or not draft closers at all. Because they're, I mean, do you have to do that or do you go draft the good ones early like Clint did this year?
Even when you do, they might be hurt before the season starts.
You've got to draft closers going, especially in a 10-team league.
You have to take
you get three and you're fine. But you know what?
Stats.
But you've, exactly. But I think Clint, he got bit in the butt, man, because he took Rivera so early, he's gone. You can't be taking a closer that early, but you got to roll with it and get lucky, and hopefully you find the guy who's going to be good.
Rivera was the second.
All right, Wally, this podcast is going to take a special break right now to talk about Josh.
Oh!
The gifted one.
My gosh.
Hamilton.
It just got hot in this room.
Tell me what...
Why are your pants off, Wally?
Describe that day for you. I want to know what you were doing. I mean, tell us about Hamilton's big day.
I was golfing. I was golfing on Tuesday and checked my phone, and he already hit his first. And I had sent a text to old Bottle.
Yeah.
Josh Hamilton is a god. So don't check my phone again. On the way home, driving home, check my phone. Hamilton has 6 RBIs already? He has 3 jacks. So, I mean, you're excited. So I get home and go inside, turn on the Ranger game. Watch his fourth at bat, and when he hit his fourth, I was like running around my house. I mean, how can he not? You know? I'm just Josh Hamilton at his heart.
I mean, I think a lot of us who are diehard fans were tuning in at that point just to see if there was a shot he could hit his fourth, but I didn't expect him to because, you know why? I didn't think they would pitch to him.
Well, that's what I said. It's funny because Andrus is hitting in front of him, and I'm like, please don't hit a double so they intentionally walk him.
Yeah.
I'm like, anything but a double. So he hits a fielder's choice, and so there's a mound at first. I'm like, well, they got a pitch. So he gets down in the count 0-2, and O'Day is set up, like, catcher's set up, like, a foot outside, and O'Day just pulls it, and he hits it
unbelievable.
I don't know if you guys saw it. When he hit, I'm like, that's a double. Like, ball carries the dead straightaway center.
The thing is, he didn't really react. When you watch the highlight of that fourth one, it was just business as usual. I think he knew he got it, but he just started running the bases head down.
You know he's going to have a lot of money in his bank account come next year.
I hope. Texas has got to re-sign him.
Right. Well, if he doesn't, he'll make a lot of money wherever he goes.
Did anybody watch PTI? Yes. Do you guys watch PTI at all?
No, I haven't seen it.
They interviewed him yesterday. It's the first time I've ever seen an interview go like 10 minutes. It was the best interview ever. But yeah, the man crush meter for me is outrageous.
One thing I want to say, he homered in the first inning, then he homered again in the third inning. In the fifth inning, he came up. I don't know if you were probably golfing. You didn't see this. He doubles off the wall. He just about got it.
I saw the highlights. It looks like a ball when he hit it.
Yeah.
But he must have caught off the end and had top spin.
Yeah. So it came down. It's off the wall. So at that point in the fifth inning, he's already got two bombs and just missed a third. And you're thinking, oh, that's a heck of a day.
Yeah.
And then he comes back. And in the seventh inning, he hits one.
Off a lefty.
And then again in the eighth inning, he got that fourth one. So
let's not forget that the night before, his last at bat, he hit a two-run bomb.
Yeah.
And so that's six extra base hits in a row. And today he was going for the all-time record of seven extra base hits in a row if he would have got one in his first at bat.
Do you think it's easier to pitch a perfect game or hit four bombs in a game?
Well, it's interesting. He was the 16th person in Major League history to hit four.
And there's only been 20 perfect games.
21, I think, when Philip Humber did that earlier this year. So it's more rare what Hamilton did.
And what a year for baseball. This is the first year in the history of baseball that there's been a perfect game and a four home run game in the same season. And we're a month and a half in.
Incredible.
That's crazy.
Impressive. You know, it's nothing like what Hamilton did, but in the past 10 days or so, I've got Carlos Beltran, who's been a huge surprise for me. And he had six RBIs in one game, and then he came back and had seven in another game. When your guys have those big days, life is good. Nothing can get you down. It's so awesome to see a guy just get up and rake and single-handedly put up numbers your whole team would normally give you on a day.
If it happens to another guy, it kind of infuriates you.
Oh,
it
pisses you off.
Like I said, I passed on Braun, as everybody knows. Braun, the other week, in Petco, of all places, hits three jacks and a triple. I'm like, how do I pass on this guy? And then, like I said, Argy's headed, when it happens to your guy, you can do no wrong.
Well, got to give you congratulations. I think we all criticized your Hamilton pick, mostly because he fit in with all these other guys that had historically been injured on your teams, and then he already did miss a few games to injury. So we all thought, Wally's primed for a big-time disappointment this year with these injury guys. But if he misses the rest of the year, he gave you a
pretty good
game. Unbelievable.
Well, question for you, dude. What would you trade him for?
I don't think anything.
I mean, he's not going to get hotter than he is now.
He just passed Kemp. He's number one now in the player radar.
By a long ways. He has 36 RBIs. Kemp has like 27. Everybody says that you should trade him. I don't want to trade him. I don't know, and it's probably smarter to trade him, but I think you fall in love with these guys so much that I don't think I wouldn't have traded Kemp last year for anything in the world. I don't know if I would trade Ted Williams right now for Hamilton straight up, you know?
Well, he's dead.
I don't know.
Let's say I offered you Votto and
Verlander.
Strasburg. You wouldn't take him for Hamilton? I wouldn't do that deal, by the way.
Two guys who are
proven
way, way good.
It'd be hard. Like I said, I guess what I'm going to say...
Because that's the kind of stuff you can get for this deal.
You're right. And if someone offers me a trade, I would look at it. I'm not going to offer anybody. I'm not going to...
No, that makes sense.
I'm not going to go out of my way to offer. And he's still an injury risk, like I said, but... If he plays, he's as good as anybody in the game.
Would you take Derek Jeter for him?
Straight up?
Mm-hmm.
No. If we were redrafting, where does he go?
Jeter?
No. Hamilton.
Oh, first. Top five. Kemp, I still think, goes number one.
Top 10. I still don't think he goes ahead of Kemp. I still don't think he goes ahead of Cabrera. I still don't think he goes ahead of Braun.
But he's right there. That's top five. If we did the draft now, he's going ahead of Pujols, right?
Yeah.
He's going ahead of everybody else. He's going to go ahead of Tulo,
Cano.
In a perfect Votto. World, if everybody played 162 games, Hamilton's stats would be the best. And I think that's the interesting thing is, because Hamilton obviously is by far the biggest injury risk out of anybody. But if per game stats, I think I would take Hamilton over anybody. That's just my opinion.
The dude's good. It amazes me, especially off left-handed pitching. It doesn't faze him a bit. I mean, the guy is really good. And like we were talking about earlier, how I took Kinsler and passed on Hamilton. You know, because I thought I was getting a reliable 30-30 from the second base position, but Hamilton can hit in the mid to high 300s. You know, I mean, he puts up that batting average element that you don't get except from the very elite players.
If he plays in 150 games this year, he has a chance to win the Triple Crown. I don't know if that's a bold prediction. He's already got a jump on home runs and RBIs. The guy's a batting average machine, as Scotty saw 2 years ago.
I don't think it's a bold prediction. In fact, if anyone's got a chance to do it, you'd have to say it's him this year.
Yeah.
Even more so than Kemp.
And plus, he's got so much protection in the line, which is different than Kemp. Because at some point with Kemp, it's like, they got to start walking him.
Yeah.
Hamilton has, like, so many guys.
Bats all around him.
So, yeah, Hamilton, I hope I have you on my team every year.
Well, we got to give you props at least for this week. It was the week of the ham bone.
It was the week.
We're going to talk waiver wire strategies a little bit. Wally, we'd like to have you in for this segment because you have a unique approach. You don't care about a guy's name. You're pretty active on the waiver wire. Talk to us about your strategy.
This is the one thing I wanted to talk about. I think this is where, and I think actually Show's doing a pretty good job of it. I think the waiver wire is a lot where you can win and lose years. An example is Travis, Benji, as we talked about, had three third basemen get injured in 2 days. So he didn't know what to do. I'm like, Travis, go pick up Middlebrooks for the Red Sox. I'm like, they say he's going to rake. I mean, and I told him on Thursday to pick him up. He didn't pick him up, so I picked him up. So he goes out and he's hit a couple jacks here in the last couple days. And Travis was just like, oh, what's he going to be in the league for like another 2 weeks? Who cares?
Oh, what was he going to do instead?
Play Ike Davis? I mean, not Ike, what's his name for Baltimore?
Chris Davis?
Chris Davis, thank you.
Chris Davis has been playing well.
I don't know. This is such a shallow league. Like I said, there's only 10 managers. There's so much talent on the waiver wire. Like I said, my catcher position is such a, like, for example, such a cycle. Like, I don't know why they don't use him more. Like, I just will cycle guys and cycle guys and cycle guys. Like, an example is my two second basemen of the first year was Ackley and Ryan Roberts for Arizona. Now it's Alan Craig and Altuve just because I've tried so many different second basemen. And you made fun of me at the first year. Like, how many second basemen is this guy going to roster? Until I find two, that's what I'm going
to
roster.
But do you like to find one and settle in, or do you continue to rotate?
I continue to rotate.
See, because I'm the same way. I play matchups. I like to look at matchups. But how can you do that? I'm interested in, you're picking up guys off waivers. A lot of times it's a guy like Middlebrooks that doesn't even have a matchup history. So are you going off, oh, hey, he's been hot for the past week, or are you actually looking at daily batter versus pitcher matchups?
Middlebrooks was a pickup because I knew David Wright was facing the Phillies, and he was going to face Roy Halladay and Cliff Lee in that series. So then I was like, I don't want to play Wright that way. Middlebrooks, everybody's just singing this kid's praises. So I'm like, why not give him a shot against the Royals, who are throwing three lefties in that series, and see how he does. And that's how I did it.
You know? I've seen you do it in the past, too, with like Brendan Bosch.
Yeah.
Brandon Inge, I think you had at the start of one season when he went crazy. So.
And like I said, like they don't always pan out. Like I don't know if Diaz is his name. I don't know if he's going to be all good all year, but he's leaning off for the White Sox. And I need runs and steals. You know, why not take a flyer on him? I mean, if he sucks, he's not going to be worse than Nelson Cruz anyways.
Yeah.
BOD, you're not a fan of the rotate players. You kind of like to lock in.
Yeah, unless it's a position I need. I mean, why would I be rotating out someone if I have a good player in that position? Like, you're not rotating out Adrian. You're not rotating out...
Well, for example, he just said David Wright, who, by the way, is having a great year, and I predicted that he would suck, and I've been wrong about that. But bodily, so let's say,
I kind of worry about my third outfield position. So I got a bunch of guys I'm trying to rotate in there. So I agree to an extent, but like overall, the averages are going to play out. So you might as well keep the better player, quote unquote, but sit them while they're benched. So I mean, I'm sort of on that same.
Yeah, but I have no problem. Like, Adrian Gonzalez this year has been awful, especially like the last month, just like Votto. Like I said, so I've benched him a couple of days, and a couple of guys think I'm crazy for doing that. Like, I
think you should. Like, these guys are sucking. Do not play them. Don't play them. Because you're just going to kill your team.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you shouldn't cut them.
I've been in that position in the past 2-3 weeks with Eric Hosmer. He's been awful.
Awful. And that's a guy I loved, by the way.
Yeah. I coming into the draft, I thought I stole him. I mean, I don't know what to do. I can play Cabrera or Posey at first base. Then I'd have to fill my third base spot. But, I mean, you got to think Hosmer's going to turn it around. I don't know how long to wait.
Well, right. Go ahead. I'd say just bench him until he turns it around. And if he doesn't, well, you've already got another person in there playing. Because going 0 for 4 every night, that hurts.
Oh.
Because that turned into 0 for 28 for 1 week.
Yeah, 0 for 4, 0 for 8, 0 for 12 is bad. But when it gets to 0 for 20 or, you know,
I mean, I mocked you the other night when Adrian went 0 for 8 in that
18-8
game.
Oh, Chris Davis struck him out on 3 pitches.
How unbelievable is that?
0 for 8.
Terrible.
I said the next day, I don't care who he's facing, I'm benching him. I was so pissed.
Well, you guys have both won the league, and you each have different strategies, so I'm not sure there's a right answer on this, but it's interesting to see.
I think they're similar strategies. I think both me and Bodley, we rotate our lineup support. Like, you can say what you want. You've sat Bottle this year.
Yeah, I'm rotate, not afraid to sit these guys. And
they suck. And you'll rotate guys. I think like guys like Scotty or Vengeance, they're going to ride. Like, oh, there's a reason why you took him in the third round. Well, yeah. Like, I took Nelson Cruz in the fourth. He sucks, but I still took him in the fourth. Like, I can't. If he's going to be terrible all year, I can't depend on that guy.
Sooner or later, reality sets in. And even though you might think, like last year, the Melky Cabrera sucked, well, he was good last year.
And it sucked.
You know what I mean?
One thing we know, you can't win this league unless you're active on the waiver wire, because there are a couple guys in our league who pretty much draft their team and then more or less roll with that team the whole year. And if you're not, whether it's moving your roster between bench players and starters or picking up guys off waivers, if you're not active doing that, you're behind the game, because the rest of the league is doing that, and it's hard to keep up.
And I think, while you would admit this, a lot of this is luck. I mean,
that's a lot.
Scott took Cano and Ellsbury, and Ellsbury's hurt and Cano sucks. Did anybody see Cano sucking like this?
No.
Nobody did. It's all luck.
It's a lot of luck. I agree. Like I said, there's some skill, but like if I don't have Hamilton on my team, I'm not close.
Yeah, if Hamilton tweaks his hammy, this week didn't happen, you know?
Well, an example of luck, like last year, I wanted Kemp to follow me in the third. He did. But then I really wanted Kershaw in the fifth. He didn't. And then Scotty takes Ubaldo, and so I lucked in the Verlander.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of it's luck. Still fun, though.
All right, boys. We're going to finish up this episode of the podcast with a segment that we like to call Who You Got?
Who You Got?
And we've got some good ones here today. So, start out with this. We've talked a little bit about Adam Dunn. What about Laher versus Adam Dunn?
Adam Dunn is not even close.
The two Chicago first basemen.
Laher.
Adam Dunn is not even close.
Laher is a journeyman minor leaguer, and he is making his time count now in the bigs. The guy is off to a terrific start.
Both these guys are on Cobra's team, by the way. Hold on.
Did he pick up Laher, like 3 days ago?
About a day before I was going to. That's a good pickup. I don't believe Adam Dunn. I don't believe it.
Like, he has, what, 8 years of hitting 40 bombs? I mean, just saying. It's not like this year is an aberration.
And Laher's been in the minors during those 8 years, but Laher is hitting .384 with 8 bombs.
Okay. I am willing to bet you that he won't hit over .350 this year.
I'll bet you right now Adam Dunn hits more bombs than Laher. I'll bet you Laher beats him in every other stat.
RBIs?
RBIs. Adam Dunn's not a big RBI guy.
BOD, final word, who you got?
Dunn, not even close.
Laher.
Interesting. I'm going to go Laher because I think Adam Dunn totally sucks. I'm not buying it for a
Me
second.
Me too.
By the way, these are the same people who think Jay Bruce sucks. So
hold on! Just... Whoa! I'm on your Jay Bruce bandwagon. I don't want to get lumped in here.
By the way, it's funny how I love guys like Bruce and Dunn and Tex. These guys who just hit bombs who suck. But yet, I can't stand Carlos Pena at all.
Tex is
or Mark Reynolds.
Yeah, or Mark Reynolds.
Okay, next one. Edwin Encarnacion or David Freese?
David Freese.
What is up with Edwin Encarnacion? That guy is unbelievable.
They're relaying signs to him, not Batista.
It's unbelievable.
And of course Cobra hasn't.
I mean, Encarnacion, people have been waiting for him to come out like this for a long time.
Cobra is a master.
Encarnacion reminds me of Pedro Alvarez in the sense that, yeah, people have been waiting for a long time for him to perform, and he never really does, but he is finally doing it, and I don't know whether to buy it or not. Whereas David Freese, you know, the Cardinals brought him up quick, made him that starter. They sort of gave their trust to him at that position. I think it's David Freese for me.
It's Freese for me.
Here's a thought. If think about Cobra's draft. You know, he wasn't like bat heavy at the beginning. So he has to go out and find these waiver guys to fill in spots. And these guys are the ones who turn out and have great years.
Yeah, meanwhile, I'm picking Coco Crisp, and I think I've got some great lock on steals, and I drop him 2 weeks into the season, and he's locking into Edwin Encarnacion.
I gotta give Cobra a little credit. Like, it is nice when Dunn pans out or something, but in his defense, he took Ike Davis and Goldschmidt, so he was just planning on one of those three guys to pan out.
Yeah.
I don't think Ike Davis or Goldschmidt are on his team. And so I think that's what...
Okay, here's another one. Melky Cabrera versus John Jay.
Can John Jay stay healthy?
I like John Jay.
And isn't he seriously 350 years old? Because didn't he sign the Declaration of Independence?
that might be
that's a history joke, right?
That might be a different Jay. He was born in 1985, FYI. So
I like John Jay just because I love that Cardinals lineup, which I hated.
379 he's hitting with 8 bombs.
I don't know. I have Cabrera, and I hate the guy.
I just hate. I would hate to play a guy every day in the outfield that is starting for the Giants.
Well, I know. Well, Carlos Beltran last year, he was with the Giants, and he sucked.
Melky's hitting 315, but he only has 1 bomb. So you got to say John Jay, right? But I think a lot of people would say Melky, especially in our league.
Just because of the rankings.
But Melky has a lot of runs and RBIs, though.
No, he has 10 RBIs. He does have 18 runs.
That's a lot of runs.
That's shocking that it is 18 runs.
He was hitting 2 and
I didn't realize the Giants had 18 runs, so that's news to me. all right, here's another one. Big names. Agon versus Joey Votto.
Caw.
It's Wally versus the BOD.
I'm taking Votto. I think Votto's coming around. He's getting a couple RBI games here and there. Looks like there's something wrong with Adrian.
It's interesting. Adrian's not hitting for any power. Votto strikes out every time he goes to the plate. Like, I don't know. Like, I think at this point, I'd probably have rather have Votto. But I took Adrian over ahead of Braun. I thought Adrian was going to be great. He's not driving anything. He's laying on fastballs, early on curveballs. He's lunging. He's not hitting doubles. I got Votto. What do you got?
If I'm picking who I would rather have for the rest of the year, I got to go Adrian.
Good. Why?
Because I think he will hit for better average than Votto. I think Adrian's got the ability to go 330, and Votto's like a 310 guy. I do like Votto in that Reds lineup, but I like Adrian in the Sox lineup.
So he can drive in Darnell McDonald and...
No, he can... Pedroia.
The Red Sox lineup isn't that good anymore, guys.
They have like the 5th most runs.
You took Votto with pick 10?
Yeah.
9.
So these 9. So because they were only drafted 3 or 4 picks apart from each other. I don't know, it's hard, but I would say Adrian.
I'd say Votto. I hope Adrian. Does either of those guys hit above 25 bombs?
Yes.
Do both of them?
Yes.
Good, that's good news.
I agree.
Good news for me.
All right, a couple more to finish up. Kelly Johnson versus Jason Kipnis.
Kipnis.
Kelly Johnson.
Why?
2020. Boom.
Is he going to have 20 steals?
He's got like 5 or 6 already this year.
How can you roster a guy that hits 220?
Okay.
He's got 3 bags, by the way. He doesn't have 7 bombs, though.
What's he hitting on the year?
Which is really solid for your second baseman. He's hitting 261. It's not devastating.
No. But in last year in Toronto, he hit 280.
I hated him in Arizona.
Well, because he hit 210 in Arizona. I mean, look, why is Jason Kipnis suddenly going to be able to be the next Brooks Robinson?
It's a good comparison. He's hitting 265, Kipnis is. He's got 5 homers compared to 7 from Johnson, and he's got 6 bags. You know, these guys are virtually the same player.
I like
Kipnis. But Johnson plays in Toronto, good offense, and Kipnis plays in Cleveland.
And he's young, too.
Toronto's offense has not been good by any imagination. Batista's been as bad as any first-round pick.
They should be good, though. Brett Lowry hasn't done anything, but he should. Adam Lind hasn't done anything, but he should. Kelly Johnson's been okay. I mean, but if you put those guys with Bautista and Encarnacion, that Blue Jays lineup should be really good.
Yeah, I still pick Kipnis.
All right, 2 pitchers, and then we're done. Johnny Cueto versus Brandon Morrow.
This is an interesting dilemma. Let me... Cueto obviously is an ERA and whip machine, but his K rate's awful. Well, Morrow is kind of a strikeout guy.
But he hits a lot of bats.
My love for strikeouts, I take Morrow. I hate having low K guys.
I think I take Cueto because Morrow's such a wild card, man.
Morrow has a whip under 1.97, 2.27 ERA. It's hard to argue with him, but I've loved having Cueto. He's been a huge surprise for me because I got him at the very tail end of the draft.
Cueto has been lights out. I just don't...
He's got 4 wins already, and a 1.12 ERA. 1.12.
He does get a pitch against the NL Central where Marl gets to face the AL East, which is a good. But he does pitch in the worst pitcher park in bigs.
And somehow he's ranked 17th overall with an ERA of 1. I mean, the guy's been nails. And by the way, Brandon Morrow is ranked 23rd overall.
Brandon Morrow makes Gallardo seem calm and consistent. I mean, Morrow's all over the map.
I agree, man. When it's bad for him, it's bad. Like I
said, let's see how it looks in another month.
He does hit a lot of bats. He's already had games this year where he gave up 2 homers and 3 homers.
That's brutal. What was he, Gallardo? I mean, geez.
So, but other than those starts, he's been lights out. Since his start on April 23rd, he's only given up 2 runs in 4 starts.
That's pretty nice, man.
Yeah, and Greinke throws a gem and quite a matches in pitch for pitch. He's been lights out. I don't know. That's a tough one, actually.
All right, last one. Steven Strasburg, you guys might have heard of him, versus Cole Hamels.
Whew. I pick Strasburg. I love Cole Hamels. He's been lights out. I don't understand why he thinks he can just plunk anybody he wants because the guy's a rookie, but...
Yeah, F. Hamels, man.
What an idiot. I don't even like Bryce Harper, but, like, Harper did nothing to him. Like I said, Hamels is lights out. I take Strasburg because that guy, inning per inning, he's the best pitcher.
How can you take Strasburg? Hamels has more than a strikeout per 9. He's at 44 with only 40 innings pitched. He's got a 2.45 ERA, a 1.02 whip. But here's the thing. Strasburg's on a 160 innings limit. The dude's going to be done by the middle of August.
I don't know if that's entirely true.
Are you telling me if the Nationals are contending for an NL East title that they're going to sit Strasburg? There's no way they're gonna bring that guy down. There's no way.
But
they're like, oh, we're running here for a division. We're trying
I lost you when you said if the Nationals are going to contend for an NL East title.
Well, they're going
to. Do they have any offense?
If they're still in it. There's no offense in the NL East.
Yeah, the Phillies have no offense.
By the way,
the Marlins have no offense.
You read Hamels' stats? Here's Strasburg for the year. 1.66 ERA, 0.84 whip.
38 Ks, 38 innings pitched, 2
wins. Good.
He's gonna be done pitching in August.
No, he's not.
I don't think he will.
You guys are crazy.
You honestly think Hamels? What's better, Strasburg keeps up this pace or Hamels keeps up his pace? Strasburg.
Strasburg's done in August. If he was going to pitch a full season, I would agree. Strasburg, he's more electric. He's going to probably have more Ks. But Hamels' K rate has been sensational. And Strasburg is going to be done in August.
If you have either,
instead of getting 30 starts, he's going to get 22.
I don't think he'll be done in August. And to be honest with you, I think this is a pretty good comparison. I mean, this is as good as we can get. I mean,
honestly, if you have either of these guys, I don't think you're going to be mad.
I feel like the Phillies have a better chance to get more wins.
The Phillies lineup is as bad as it gets.
It's as bad as it is, but it's better than the Nationals. Actually, the Nationals lineup improved because Worth got hurt.
Worth is out. Mike Morse is out. I mean, they were counting on those two guys along with Zimmerman, who has been out and just barely came back.
Worth is terrible.
Adam LaRoche has been out. I mean, those guys have been hurt.
Bryce Harper
has not. The Phillies are the king of the big names. Like I said, I don't think Utley's coming back. I don't think Howard's coming back. That lineup is as bad as it gets in the bigs.
Howard will be back in a month.
I don't believe it.
He's already doing baseball activities.
Oh.
Great pick by me at the end of the draft.
How many home runs did we have this year? Didn't we have this bet?
I say he will have more than 15.
Wasn't the bet like 25?
Yeah. All right, Wally, we're glad you came and joined us today.
No bold predictions, dang it.
Oh, you got some bold predictions?
Give us one on our way out.
I don't know if it's a bold prediction, but I'll say this. I fear Bleacher's team a lot more than I fear the show's team. I don't know if that's a bold prediction or whatever this is, but this is what I wanted to get on record. Let me explain why I fear Bleacher's team. I think his pitching's for real. I think his speed's for real. So like I said, his power RBIs are going to be shaky. I don't think Show is going to keep up this pace. We keep saying it.
I don't know if he listens to our podcast, but we pretty much say it every week that this guy is on the fall. You know, he's not going to be able to keep it up.
Well, he has so many more innings pitched than anybody. He has like +8 in outfield. Like,
it's classic first year manager. He's overplaying his team early on. Because his strikeouts per 9 are not good. His win total is not good. Like you said, he's chewing up his innings with a staff that isn't that great.
Yeah, but I mean, he's getting good numbers. Like, what is he supposed to do? Just, oh, I'm going to suck at the beginning?
And he's got 80 points. He is killing us.
I'm not saying that. I don't. You know how hard it is to go wire to wire in a fantasy league? Especially the starting he has.
It's tough, but I'd rather be first right now than be sixth or seventh, wherever I'm at.
Well, if Jay Bruce is this good, Adam Jones is this good, Kemp is this good, but like I said, all these players are this good, yeah, then he's got a chance.
He's got a freaking good outfield.
Without Verlander, his staff, I love my staff a lot more. Like I said, I'm just saying, Bleacher, if you're out there, I'm giving you some love, man. I fear your team a lot more than I fear the show's team. I still fear other teams more, but I think your team, I think you have a plan.
Well, everybody loves my pitching, but my pitching's over in the area over four. I'm solid at number two.
It's still early. I don't know when we can stop saying that, but it's still early.
I'll give you a bold prediction at the other end of the standings. When the Big Cat comes back and joins us next week, he'll still be in last place.
That's not a bold prediction.
He's up to 27 points.
We didn't give him very much crap.
No, honestly, Scotty, I feel for you, man. I don't know if you're at Suicide Watch, but...
It's tough.
You're up to 27 points. Life gets better. He was down to 19 and a half.
I wonder if he's like Jersey Wedding Crashers with Luke Wilson, or Owen Wilson, how he just like wouldn't get up or do anything.
He's he's reading Do Not Kill Me books.
Yeah. That's what he's like.
Oh.
Big Cat, we miss you. We look forward to having you back next week.
I can't believe I scared you that much. I guess to get on a podcast, don't make fun of Hunter Pence because you'll never see Scotty again.
Let's, BOD, give them the contact info.
Offbasepodcast@gmail.com. The Twitter's @offbasepodcast. And, of course, you can follow the league at tinyurl.com/offbasepodcast.
All right. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. Until next week, we are the Major League Baseball Freaks. We're out.
What an honor.